Bill.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, that was a very interesting. I was just talking to the crew here. I saw, you know, one of my favorite channels of all time in the history of the human race is Investigation Discovery, although I won't go so far as to say that I'm addicted. And I know they now have the ID addict thing, you know.
I think that's fun. Aren't you a part of that whole, that scene, that little atmosphere?
No, I'm not a part of that scene. No. I don't like that. In fact, I think they jumped the... I don't want to say they jumped the shark, because that's meaning that they're over. The Investigation Discovery is not over, but look, if people dig you, let them dig you. Don't turn it into a Mickey Mouse Club right away.
Well, I just, you know, people are, they're trying to maximize it.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to say, hey, everybody likes the channel, let's maximize that for the potentiality.
Yes.
Maximize it for the potentiality. You know, I'm so sorry that I ever let you see Carlito's Way, because it butchered your ability to speak the English language.
Very good, Phil.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean potentiality? Look, all I'm telling you is I like Investigation Discovery. So I was watching this thing today, and I saw that story of that Jasmine Fiore.
Oh, my God. She was the little model.
Well, little.
Little, yes. I'm not talking about the size of her breasts.
Yeah, that was the lady they found out about.
They found out this Jasmine Fiore. That was a story that was something to behold, man. I'm watching this thing because that Aphrodite Jones was talking about it. Is that her name?
Oh, you got the hots for her, don't you?
No, I don't. It's that crime writer, Aphrodite Jones. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Anyway, she was talking about that case, and it was, I remember the case because I was in the hospital at the time, and I heard about it, and I thought I was hallucinating. It was so bizarre. It was the most messed up thing I ever heard in my life. They found this girl. She was killed by her husband. Now, the thing about this that made it so sick and twisted, and I guess typically Hollywood, was that the husband was a contestant on a show called Megan Wants to Marry a Millionaire. Do you remember the show?
No, I don't. Those shows are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, is that the lady, Heidi, those two people?
You mean the people from Survivor? Was that those two idiots? No. Remember them? What was their name?
I know who you're talking about. It was a husband and wife team, and everyone hated her living guts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I we're going to have to look that one up, because I remember they were the talk of the town for the longest time. Anyway, this poor Jasmine Fiore, she marries this scumbag from Megan Wants to Marry a Millionaire. Now, he meets her in Vegas. They get married. And I guess she thought he was exciting and wonderful and marvelous because, let's face it, you know, when it comes to... What do they tell you about psychopaths? They're the most charming guy in the bar. It's the most charming guy in the place.
Well, Phil, I don't think that's...
No. That's exactly what Dr. Stone said, okay?
You're saying when you meet a man who is cultured and has style and has flair... And has... Hold on, bud. I'm not done.
Yeah, but...
Hold on. I'm not done. You meet a man with education. You meet a man who has well-tailored suits. You meet a man who drives a beautiful car.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
He's not a scumbag.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think Bud's taking a little...
The guy's a scumbag.
The man has a degree from Harvard. The man...
Scumbag.
No, he's not a scumbag. We're talking about any guy that is charming.
Well, that's what I find charming.
All right. I'm saying if you go into a typical meat market type bar on a Friday night, okay, and you meet some guy, and as a matter of fact, Chris Norton, who we have often had on the program, he's a perfect example of this, because Chris does the whole bar scene. He does the Rusty Pelican, I guess, in Hermosa Beach. And what we ought to do is bring him on after the break. Can you do that, bud?
Well, get him now, huh?
No, I just got done saying to you, bring him on after the break. Okay, can you handle that?
Yeah, not now, after the break.
When I call him now.
What did I just say to you, man?
He said after the break.
Oh.
After the break, call him up. And let's get him on, because I think that what we need here really is sort of a snapshot into that world, you know, a place. What is this?
Chris Norton.
Mr. Henry, yeah, it's Chris Norton.
Hold on for a second, Chris, okay?
Yes, sir, but I don't...
What did I just say to you, man?
Well, he's got him now, Phil. You might as well talk to him.
Yeah.
What did I just say? No, I'm not going to... What did I just say to you?
Put him on after the break, but I'd already dialed a number.
You'd already dialed the number. Could you have put him on hold? Could you have hung up?
Well, he'd already answered.
He'd already answered. So when I said put him on after the break,
pretty much he'd already answered, said hello, and agreed to be on the air.
So you guys basically told me, hey, why don't we go ahead and get Chris Norton after you'd called him, and you already had him, and you already said he was going to go on the air, and pretty much it was just a fait accompli, and anything that Phil had to say about it, you would not listen to.
Yeah, we don't speak French.
What do you mean you don't speak French?
What about fait accompli?
Put him on the... Get him on there.
Well, I mean, we can hold him over.
Get him on the... Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing real good, Mr. Harry. How are you doing?
Good. Chris, we're talking about this Jenkins, this guy that killed Jasmine Fiore. You know the story?
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit familiar with it. Yeah, she was a model. She was very beautiful and very tasty. She is pretty typical, I think, of a lot of, you know, very high-end, very high-class, very tasty.
Okay, that's fine, but the poor girl was murdered by this guy.
No, I understand that, yes, sir.
Okay, and this guy, this is the kind of guy that, as I've said, is the most charming guy in the joint. This is the kind of guy that is going to charm a girl into thinking that he just thinks she's great, that he loves her, that he thinks that there's no other woman above her. In other words, he's the kind of guy that can make a woman feel really good.
I think it probably is either he's a psychopath, like you were saying, or he can be me. And what I mean by me is, I'm not a psychopath, but I have, and again, this is kind of difficult for me to talk about, Mr. Henry, but I do have I'm good looking to the point where if I pay attention to women in a bar situation, they will tend to think that I am, you know, that they're pretty special. You see what I'm saying about?
Not exactly.
Well, I'm saying...
Chris, this is Margaret. Are you saying that because you're so handsome, if you pay attention to a woman, she must think she's beautiful?
Yes, ma'am. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you don't have to call me ma'am. My name is Margaret.
No, yeah. But, I mean, that's sort of what we're talking about. So, if I say to a girl or a woman who's in a Rusty Pelican one night, I say, you know, you look very lovely, and, you look kind of sexy, and... would you like me to buy you a cocktail or something? And she'll say, yeah. And right away, because I said she was sexy, she feels the sexual energy, see? And she feels there's a sexuality. And she thinks that she's sexy.
Okay, so in other words, you're not a psychopath. Just the fact that you tell her she's beautiful, she is charmed because you're good looking.
But pretty much, yeah, because throughout most of my life, I've been very good looking, and women are... And it's, like I say, it's nothing that I try to play up. It just is, I'm trying to be sincere when I say that I do have a lot of sensuality. So when women are complimented by me, they feel that they have sense or have a sense energy. They feel the sense. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, okay. So they feel sexy as the result of that. Now... you're not a psychopath, though. You're not going to take this girl back to your apartment and murder her.
No. I mean, that's sort of, I don't understand that. I mean, I don't need to do any of that. Like I said, fortunately for me, my sexuality and my sensuality enables me to, you know, any woman that's with me is going to be very sexually attracted to me. And is going to submit to my sense. Okay?
All right, so in other words, you don't have to do much more than just be you, and they're all in love with you. And
well, I'm not going to try to be egotistical or nothing, but...
No, I understand that.
Well, it sounds a little egotistical. You're talking about your sexuality and your sensuality and this and that. So you're saying, and what do you mean the woman is going to submit to your sex?
I think Ms. Gray, all I'm saying is that because of I'm handsome... that women will submit to the set.
All right, I understand what he's saying. Now we get to the psychopath, the guy that may not be as handsome as you, may not be as sexy as you, but nonetheless, this guy, have you ever seen guys like this?
There, occasionally. If I, you got to understand something, Mr. Henry. If I'm in a Rusty Pelican on a Friday night, and I'm with Steve Babkin or Jeff Bodine or... you know, our guy Babcock, these are my three best friends that I have, and all three of these guys are sexy guys. They got really hot girlfriends, but they're sexy.
And what are these guys?
These are my friends, Guy Babcock, Steve Bodine, and Jeff Valeur.
Jeff Valeur.
Well, it's not important or anything. I mean,
why do you need to write down the names?
Not. I just thought.
I mean, they are three male models. That's who you want to write down. One of them's an adult film.
Is he in adult films?
Yeah.
Which one?
Jeff Valeur. It's either Steve Bodine did some adult film. He did some gay porn, which, well, I probably shouldn't have said.
All right, that's as far as I want to go with that. Let's just take a break. I want to get back here and talk about the bar scene, and the safety of women is really what I want to get into here. How safe are women? What should you be looking for? We have with us Chris Norton, who is a pharmaceutical salesman from the South Bay area of Los Angeles, and also spends quite a bit of time in the sort of the bar scene there on the beach. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after these very important messages. Don't forget philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass to all of the proceedings.
Truth.
Yes, about the video cast.
Yes.
Phil Hendry Show.
I got to try my sister right now, and then I'll be back.
Your who?
My sister.
Joining us this evening, Chris Norton. We started out the hour, Chris, talking about the Jasmine Fiore case. Her husband murdered her, and he, took off. It was a fugitive. He was tracked down by the American and Canadian authorities, eventually in Canada, where he committed suicide by hanging himself in a motel room there in Hope, British Columbia. But before that, his wife's remains were discovered in some dumpster in Buena Park, California. Meanwhile, he's off trying to make his way to the Canadian border. And I believe at some point the American Border Patrol and the Canadian border authorities were on the lookout for this guy. And somehow he made his way into Canada. The reason why I'm bringing that up is these people are... they're good, you know. They're good at charming women. They're good at charming everybody. They're good at facilitating they're like weasels or something, man. I don't know how else to describe it, you know.
Well, Ms. Murray, I see in Rusty Pelican or some of the places where we go and just relax, because I work just as hard as anybody. I do pharmaceutical. Telemarketing. I also on the weekends am trying to start up my own film production company, and I also have a mobile party business called Norton's Boats.
And that's the mobile party, like a DJ service?
Yeah, I have DJ party hosting and all that. I do see some, but you have to understand, when myself, Guy Babcock, Steve Budde, and Jeff Valeur, when we eventually do enter the Rusty Pelican, it's generally understood that, and again, I'm trying not to be egotistical, because I'm really not. It's just that we are, I don't know how you want to say it, but I mean, I'm blessed that I was blessed and I got, I'm good looking, as Jeff Bodine and Steve Valeur, Steve Bodine and Jeff Valeur and Guy Babcock. And that, again, is even though they did gay porn.
All right, you're talking about gay porn. Is that something you
Well, I didn't mean to say nothing about it, but what I am trying to say is that Steve and Guy were in, or not Steve and Guy, but Steve and Jeff were in a gay porn film. But because they're both very, 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 very heterosexual, and when I say they're heterosexual, I'm saying that they are so heterosexual that they can do a gay porn and it's not going to have no effect on women that they meet.
Well, how many of these women have seen them in these films?
I think when it comes to Jeff and to myself and Steve and Guy and Chris, and I'm Chris, and just every, Bill, I think we do meet a lot of gals that have, seen. Have seen us.
All right, so your point being what? You guys are so handsome that you blow away any psychopath in the bar?
Well,
Mr. Henry's laughing a little bit. I don't know why. Why are you laughing, Phil?
Well, so that's what Chris is saying to me. I'm trying to get the lowdown here on dangerous psychopaths that he may have seen in the bars that he goes into, whether it's the... Where else do you go, Chris?
Well, I mean, we go to Josh Logan's in Newport Beach. We probably go to...
What is that again?
Josh Logan's. That's down Newport Beach. If we go down to Orange County, we'll probably go down to Josh Logan's, Newport Beach, go to Little Shrimp and Laguna. And
Now, Laguna Beach is pretty far south, isn't it?
Well, if you're intimating that Laguna Beach has a large gay area, is that what you're trying to say?
No, I didn't say anything about that. I said it's pretty far south.
Yeah, you're bringing it up, though. You're trying to say he goes down to the gay area.
Yeah, I mean, is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't. You know something, Chris? The record can show that you brought up the fact that you've got two friends that have done gay porn. I'm not bringing up anything having to do with anything. I'm just asking you, where have you been, so that I can compare, you know, these different scenes and the predatory psychopaths. We're talking about this one guy. He met his wife in Vegas.
Yeah, the guy that you're talking about, this Jenkins, met his wife, Jasmine Fiore, in Vegas. And I don't know the bar. It might have been Hard Rock. It could have been Ruth Sissy Sis. There's a bar up there called Little Sisser, and there's Ruth Sissy Sis.
And what is it called?
Route 66. Is that it, Jeff?
Yeah, and Ruth Sissy Sis. And also there's Little Sisser, Ruth Sissy Sis. There's also the Cistern.
The what? The Sister?
No, the Cistern.
The Cistern.
The Cistern, that's the bar?
Yeah, and all of these are some of the top, bars for singles to go into. And I'm sure that one of those, that's where he met her. And their sexuality just kind of, they probably had sex, probably with their eyes they had sex. And probably his sex and her sex, and combined to make accessible energy that they, if you're meeting at a place, doesn't matter. You could be at the Root Sissy Sis, you could be a Little Sister, your sex is going to be, it'll be set, it's sensuality.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on. We're talking to Chris Norton here from Hermosa Beach. All right. When you guys walk into a bar, you and Steve Bodine.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're laughing because I rolled the dice and told you that Steve and Jeff had been in gay porn. And
no, I'm not laughing at that. I totally forgot about that.
Well,
man, you keep bringing it up, and you said that you didn't want to bring that up because you've got two friends out there now, and these are two straight guys that did gay porn. I got nothing against this myself.
I don't either.
Okay. Then why are we dancing around this?
Well, it's pretty obvious.
I wouldn't want anybody to know about me.
Well, if they... did they need the money?
The money's pretty hard to pass up. I mean, I wouldn't take it, but Jeff and Steve decided to go for it, and they know each other, and they're comfortable having, engaging in it.
Wait a minute. Were these two guys in a gay scene together?
Yeah, I mean, the scene was... I don't know if you heard me or not, but it was gay. It was a gay scene that the two of them, they played... I don't know, they played... I forget. It was called sex. It was a sex saloon or something like that. A sex saloon. And
what is it? Sex saloon?
Sex saloon. Yeah.
Well, no, he said sex saloon.
No, it's called sex saloon, like Mr. Henry say.
Sex saloon.
Yeah. And they played two. I think they were both. Dealers. Of a car like blackjack or something, and they had sex.
All right. Well, I don't know anything about it. I just wanted to. All right. So that's fine. But I want to know more about the bar scene.
Well, you're talking about sex saloon, and so their notoriety. And
well, I don't care about sex saloon. Okay.
Well, you're talking about a bar scene.
Yeah. Was there the psychopath at sex saloon?
This is a movie. Do you understand?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sex Saloon's a movie, and
I'm having a hard time. Is it called Sex Saloon? Is it French?
Sex Saloon.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right.
Yeah, it's called Sex Saloon, and it starred Jeff Valeur, Steve Bodine, Mr. Mist, and the Blue Avenger. And
Mr. Mist. That's the name of one of the actors?
Yeah. I mean, that's his stage name, man.
And the Blue Avenger?
Yeah. Blue Revenger.
Okay, and what's his name?
No, that was a female, but kind of butch. And anyway, they're all in the saloon when the two blackjack dealers decide to have sex. And there's a whole plot to it. I mean, it's very interesting.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton is with us as we talk about Phil Sex Saloon. You know.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We welcome you back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and remind you that if you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, you're blowing it. Because with a backstage pass, you have access to over 4,500 hours, close to 5,000 hours of original Phil Hendry radio shows going back over a decade. These radio shows, revolutionary in their concept and in their execution, and they recognized worldwide by broadcasters hither, thither, and yon as some of the most inventive radio ever, if we do say so ourselves. So check it out. For those of you who've never heard the Phil Hendry Show, the archived shows live, you should check them out at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You also see our video cast that we have every night here of our show. We have a podcast of each and every show that we deliver directly to you. We have a video cast archive. We have a year's worth of video cast and audio casts of our Los Angeles show that we did on Saturday nights. And as I said to you, all of the radio shows that we've done over the last close to 15 years now, available to you there at philhendryshow.com. We are about to unveil a brand new design. We have on demand for for iPhone and iPad users. We will have live streaming for iPhone and iPad users as soon as our new design is rolled out, which I am assured should take place very, very soon.
When are they going to do that?
Yeah, a lot of people are calling up and everybody's...
Take it easy, okay? I talked to the guys. The fault lies with me, okay? The fault lies entirely with me. I get over-enthusiastic. I come on the air and I go on my feed before the show. We do our backstage pass feed. And Chris, I apologize.
Are subscribers to the Phil Hendry website and want to know that.
Are you a subscriber?
No, I'm not. I don't really have time. The only subscription that I probably have online is for Norton's Blode Film, and also Velour, which is going to be Jeff Velour's adult film company.
Okay, so you have subscriptions.
Yeah, basically porn subscriptions. But
okay, but in any event, so... make a long story short, it's my fault because I get enthusiastic. I tell everybody, oh, yeah, rolling out pretty soon. And I don't really, I overestimated or underestimated, whatever you say, I overestimated how easy it is to, or underestimate some, whatever the word is, how easy it is to move such a massive amount of archival material. And that has been really what has been the job. It's just a slow process because we have so much. We're going to have to, as it is, we're going to have to restart all of the logs, most likely. You have to make sure that the files are attached to a page. You have to make sure that, it is just insane. And there's just no, I don't think there's anything that's been developed that makes a quick and easy job of moving 5,000 hours of audio from one site, or from one platform, or from one host to another. So... there you go.
I will say, Mr. Henry, it's a lot of material, and I do know a lot of people who have backstage pass. A couple people, like my sister. I told you about my sister has a backstage pass. And
did I get your sister?
Yeah, she has a backstage pass. There is, a lot of...
What's your sister's name, by the way?
Cecilia.
Cecilia, okay.
Yeah, my sister is Cecilia, and my brother is Steve, and my father is Seymour. And really, I was like to say my father Seymour what, you know, because my mother had a boob job when, probably when I was about 15 or something, and probably Seymour boob or something. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. All right, so...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, that's fine. So, all right, so get a backstage pass. Back with Chris Norton here as we talk about... So when you guys go into the Rusty Pelican at night, and again, we're talking about how women, single women, can be safe from predators. You're not a predator, Chris. I know that. Your friends, Mr. Velour and...
Jeff and... no, none of us. We're all... We are considered to be, by a lot of the women, a lot of babes that will go into Josh Slocum or Rusty Pelican... We're considered by a lot of these babes to be gentlemen, and as a result of that, it's pretty much on a Saturday night or a Friday night, too, when you see something sweet, you know, coming through the door, you pretty much know, you know, right away she's going to want it. And we're considered to be gentlemen.
What do you mean by want it?
Well, I mean, you can look at her and say you want it, right? And, you know, because of the fact that we are good-looking and we're also, and I don't, you know, mean to hit this.
Don't talk about good-looking. Mr. Henry always says it takes more than looks.
Well, I mean, that's what a guy that looks like Mr. Henry would say. And
well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't mean anything by it, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying it. Guys that have, well, can I just?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean... Guys that have a wrecked face like you, they're of course they're going to say it. You know, taste, you know, personality.
Okay, I got a wrecked face, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you do. You are funny and everything like that, and you probably are have a personality and your own way probably has sex appeal, but not the sex that I have.
No, you're right, Chris. I wouldn't have the sex that you have, and for that matter, Mr. Velour or Mr. Bodine.
Well. Okay, now you're making reference to sexuality. Are you saying they're homosexual?
Am I saying what?
Are you saying that Mr. Bodine and Mr. Velour is homosexual?
He's wondering if...
I'm not saying that at all. No, no, I'm just... I was making a joke because I don't think that I have anything in common with you guys.
Well, but I mean, if you're saying that they may be bisexual, that could be bisexual, homosexual... But,
okay, I understand what you're saying. I still want to get to the idea here that when you guys are in the bar, you say you chase out every psychopath.
That's why women are probably safe when we come into a cocktail lounge, which is what I prefer to call a Rusty Pelican. I want to call it bar. You know, it's almost like when we were out, you know, I was on set when I was watching Jeff and I was watching Steve going at it for Seth Saloon. And I was like, okay, this is a Seth Saloon, but the Rusty Pelican is more of a cocktail lounge as opposed to a Seth Saloon or just a Seth, you know, or just a me market or a Seth market.
Okay, we're talking to Jeff Dowder. Not Jeff. I keep saying it's Jeff Dowder. It's Chris Norton. Jeff, there's a guy that we have on our show that just reminds me so much of you, Chris. It's not even funny. His name is, do you know Jeff?
I'm trying to place him. Is his name Jeff?
Yeah, I just told you. His name's Jeff.
Well, it's not Velour.
No, it's not Jeff Velour. It's Jeff Dowder. And you guys sound like you could almost be related. Anyway, I believe it's time to break. Yes, it is. We'll take a break. The world famous... or does that say 40? What time is it, man? I can't tell my... It's 40. We got a few more minutes. We're talking here with Jeff Dowder. Excuse me, with Chris Norton.
God, man.
What's the hang-up there, Phil?
I'm sorry. We're talking with Chris Norton about the... bar scene. All right, now you guys come into a bar and the psychopaths flee?
I would have to believe that they do, because the charm that we have and the sex is legitimate. There is not no phony baloney, or however you say it. There's not no phoniness. Our sex is sincere and is, you know, and that's why most of the time we're successful in the sex that we have with women, because it is sincere and it's a seriousness that it's sad sometimes to think about how a psychopath or a sociopath is going to take advantage of a woman by lying to her and pretending like he has sexual energy, and he don't have no sexual energy now at all. I do. He don't. And also just the fact that we have a sophistication that they don't have.
Well, what do you mean by sophistication?
Well, just, if I'm talking to a, you know, sweet, something sweet, and she knows that I'm not no, you know, you know, slob, and I'm not, I'm certainly not no, you know, how would you say that, sociopath or something?
Sociopath.
Yeah, I'm not no, not no sociopath. She knows that I'm, I got, you know, I got me some money, and I got me, obviously I'm handsome, and I got me cess. You know, I mean, I got me my sessual energy, and I got me the cess that I have. And I'm not a homosexual, and neither is, well.
You know, you've been getting, we don't, I understand that, man. You didn't want to bring it up in the first place.
I know, and I, my phone's been, I can see my, my message lights going on and off, because I know that Jeff Bleuer and Steve Bodine have been calling all night. They're probably pissed off because I said that they're, you know, they were in a homosexual scene. And I can see the lights just blinking on. And have you ever seen, like, a message light going off on a message machine and you just know it's like an angry, it's just going blink, 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 blink. Ever seen that, Mr. Henry?
I haven't had a message machine in a long time, but no, I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, Chris. And it's a big red light going blink, blink.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you just know it's probably either Bodine or Bleuer, or maybe it's Babcock. And they're just all pissed. You know, it's the lights just going, I'm pissed, because you call me homosexual, you know?
Okay, well, I tell you what, let's take a break, and then you can clear those messages and see if indeed it was Bodine.
I know you're laughing, Mr. A. I can tell by the way your voice just cracked. You went, Bodine. I know that's laughter.
I'm laughing only because I think you're making a larger issue out of it. I'm sure your friends respect and love you, and that I wouldn't know Jeff Bodine or Steve Bleuer.
No. It's Steve Bodine, Jeff Bleuer.
Okay, I wouldn't know Steve Bodine or Jeff Bleuer at all. And I'm sure they're handsome guys, and women love them. And I'm not, I'll never see them in a movie.
Unless you are, which I'm not saying you are, but if you, any someday you are into homosexual movies, then you will see them. And that's the part that's probably, that's the part that scares them.
All right, well, let's take a break, and you call them up, and...
I'm not going to call them up.
Well, see if they're on the message machine.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, you do that. You clear your messages and find out if Jeff Bleuer and Steve Bodine called you, and we'll be right back and find out more about how these guys clear psychopaths out of bars with how sincere they are. For the top of the hour. On the line with me here is Jeff Dowder.
Sure, I'm going to hang up if you keep doing that.
What is your problem?
I apologize. Chris Norton, why don't you get Jeff Dowder and we'll compare the two gentlemen.
If he's around.
That's a stupid idea. Don't do that. Already you've butchered this hour.
What do you mean I've butchered the hour?
I don't mean to say anything, but you came on to talk to me about Seth and the psychopath within each one of us. And how I'm not no psychopath, and how women are attracted to my sass. Okay. Then you butcher it up by calling me this guy's name. Then you carve it again by saying, oh, yeah, wow, you know, tell us all about, you know, your homosexual friends. I don't have no homosexual friends.
I didn't say that. You're the one that said you shouldn't mention anything about it.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, the point is, can we get back on what you want to talk about? And that's the lack of the sexual energy and says that the commonality of the sex that the psychopath says is with the sassy girl, you know, because we have a lot of women who come in a rusty pelican and you can say they're sassy. And if you got a girl with sassy, but the sassy sex that she has,
I can't hold on for a minute. I don't understand what she's saying. What?
Talk about a sassy girl.
Yes, sassy.
Oh, sassy.
Yeah, I'm saying if she's sassy and sassy, all right, and her name is Cece, okay.
Will you quit fuck screwing?
You almost said the...
Sassy girl.
Okay, fine, but you know, you realize that you got something with your sinuses that makes you say sassy and sass and all that?
I've heard people say that. I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because not everybody says that. A lot of people understand what I'm talking about. Sass, everybody understands what I say. As far as you're concerned, you don't even know about a girl named Cece.
I've heard a girl's name Cece, yeah.
Are they sassy? And I understand that you're having a hard time with it. And
look, Jeff, just listen.
That's it. Goodbye.
I don't blame him.
Did I call him Jeff?
Yes, you did.
I apologize wherever you are, Mr. Norton. I didn't mean to call you Jeff, but I guess I did. I don't know why. I'm just, maybe I'm still having problems. You know, I started the show out by saying that, you know, I'd had all that problem on Friday, not sleeping, and, Jeff Dowder?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff Dowder is on the line from, Temple City, this evening. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing really good. I heard that. I almost jumped called in because I was talking to Bud Dickman about it and everything. He said what to call in, so I did.
So, you heard me talking to this guy, Mr. Norton?
Yeah.
We're talking to Jeff Dowder. Jeff is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. You also, for a period of time, operated a snowplow for Huntington Beach, California. Now, that is something I don't think I can explain.
You want me to explain it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what... I was in charge of the snowplow for Huntington Beach. What do you want me to say about it?
How often does it snow in Huntington Beach?
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't snow at all. I mean, Huntington Beach got a deal on a snowplow that they put in a city yard, and I worked near the city yard. I used to work for a boat dry dock over Tecumseh Dry Dock. I don't know if you know Tecumseh Dry Dock in Huntington Beach.
No, I do not know it.
Okay, well, that's where I worked, and the city yard where most of the city equipment was located over near Tecumseh Boatyard. It was in the Huntington Beach City Yard, and they had a snowplow there that I think they got as a way in lieu of payment on a bet, a football bet or a poker bet or something that somebody in city council had. And
Wait. The city of Huntington Beach got a hold of a snowplow in lieu of a bet being paid?
That's my understanding, that a member of the city council had a football bet or a poker bet or somebody owed somebody something and they couldn't come up with a cash, so instead they took a snowplow in lieu of payment. And so that was donated to the city, and I guess they needed somebody. One of the guys came to me and said, go over to the city hall right now because they're looking for someone who can drive a snowplow. I never drove a snowplow in my life. But I went over and I said, yeah. It's all about, you know, can you repair it? I go, yeah. So I, you know, if it ever does, and I'm not saying it will, but if it ever does snow.
If it ever snows in Huntington Beach, which is about as likely as what, a volcano erupting in Huntington Beach?
Probably a volcano is more likely, yeah.
That's nuts. All right, and what else, Jeff? What else do you do? All right, never mind.
I don't really want to get anywhere or anything like that, but...
But anyway, Jeff is a guy who consults on this program about a variety of news issues, and you sound very much like Mr. Norton. Do you know him?
I don't. Not that I know of, no. Not that I know of.
Because he is also a denizen of the beach communities, although you live in Temple City, correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you hang in Orange County?
Huntington Beach, Newport Beach.
Okay. Where else? Anywhere else?
You know, Seal Beach on occasion, and sometimes I go up Belmont Shores. I've got some friends at Belmont Shore.
All right. Just wanted to bring you on and introduce you to the crowd, and appreciate it very much, Jeff. Thank you, and a very pleasant and prosperous evening to you.
Yeah, okay. Also, I just want to mention that I have a band called Dark Horse.
Yeah, that's right. And you guys play it in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah, we play at Mr. Pooh's in Manhattan Beach, and my band is called Dark Horse, and we have an album that's coming out called Judgment at Sunrise, New Beginnings, which is the third in a trilogy of them. We did, the first was Judgment at Sunrise, the second was Judgment at Sunrise, Sun Up, and then this one is Judgment at Sunrise, New Beginnings. And what we're planning, obviously, is a thematic approach, Mr. I would talk to you about that the next album is going to be Judgment at Sunrise, Coffee Break, Judgment at Sunrise, Soup Plantation, Judgment.
Wait, you gotta explain what you mean by that.
What do you mean, Judgment at Sunrise, Coffee Break?
Well, Judgment at Sunrise is a thematic album. It's a rock opera that's gonna blow. Just it'll blow, you know, Tommy and all the other rock opera. It'll blow them away. And Judgment at Sunrise, you know how the rock operas are, okay, they're long, but they're not that long.
Whatever that means.
Well, I mean...
Well, I know Tommy is about, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah. This is going to be like 6 hours. We're going to have multiple CDs. So it's Judgment Sunrise, New Beginnings. Then we got Coffee Break, Judgment Sunrise. Soup Plantation means it's you're going to a cafeteria for lunch.
So in other words, Judgment at Sunrise is a opera about the day.
Well, yeah, but it has one thing in common. It's food or the intake of fuel for the body, for the corpus delicti. Okay?
Yeah. So why isn't it Judgment at Sunrise breakfast?
Mr. Hammer,
let him do it. It's his band.
I mean, if I got to sit here and explain the artisticness of it.
All right, Judgment at Sunrise, Judgment at Sunrise Coffee Break, Judgment at Sunrise Soup Plantation, Judgment at Sunrise what? Afternoon snack?
No, afternoon nap.
Afternoon nap.
Yeah, because, again, it is about food. It's about restoring the fuel of the body. Afternoon nap represents getting some sleep to restore the body, but also you keep the calories pile on when you go to sleep. So you wake up, I guess technically you wake up fatter. And that's why it'll be Judgment Sunrise is the fourth or the fifth installment, Judgment Sunrise Slim Fast.
Phil.
Hello?
And
okay,
well, I mean,